Hola a todos! Welcome back to the Following Paralumen podcast series, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Tenhutko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get this show on the road. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Following Paralumen podcast series. I'm Danny and I'm a writer and storyteller currently based in the Philippines. And if you're actually new here, welcome. This is a podcast in where I get to discuss some of the things that I'm passionate about, like travel, faith, culture, food, and everything under the sun, really. And today I'm with a very special guest. Her name is Kat and she's currently based in Vietnam, and she is the founder of Away Abroad, which is a travel community where expats can share experiences to help other expats move abroad. And hi, Kat, how are you?
Hi, Danny. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for taking the time to come to the podcast. I know you're very busy. And so can you tell us more about yourself and about Away Abroad?
Sure. So I'm Kat. Like you said, I am originally from the US, but I've been living abroad for a little over 8 years now. I left in January 2013, and I haven't really looked back since. In that time, I've lived kind of all over. I first moved to Ecuador, and now I'm across the world in Vietnam. But in that time, I've also worked in a bunch of different industries, and that led me to start Away Abroad. I really saw how many opportunities there were for women who wanted to live abroad and how many different lifestyles you could find in like the expat and nomad umbrella. So I wanted to start a community to kind of share that knowledge with the world to encourage more women to get out there and move abroad if that's what they were into.
Awesome. That sounds like such a great initiative, like such a great project. Before anything else, can you tell us like if there's a difference between an expat and a digital nomad? And was this something that you've always known that you wanted to do?
So I'm going to answer the second question first because that's pretty short and it's a no. No, I did not think this was where my life was going to take me. I'm so happy it did, but it was not like some long dreamed up plan since I was a kid. But to answer your first question, the difference between an expat and a digital nomad, a lot of times they kind of get thrown around together, I think, because they're under that same kind of generalization of people living outside their home country.
Right.
But in general, an expat is someone who chooses to leave their home country to move to a different country. Usually an expat stays put somewhere, either kind of, you know, like on a long-term basis, a year, can even be a year to permanently. But that's usually where the big distinction comes in, is like based on how long you plan to go for. Also, an expat for the most part doesn't tend to have plans to go back to their home country. They're usually someone who has left their home country and is living somewhere else. But a digital nomad is more someone that doesn't really have a home. That's like the typical definition of a nomad. So a digital nomad is someone who doesn't have a home. They're bouncing around. They've usually left their home country. They're in other countries, but they usually will stay in that country up to, you know, a couple of days to just a few months before bouncing to the next one. And that digital side of it is because they're working remotely.
Right.
They're working on. Yeah.
So I think that when you said that being an expat isn't something that you really thought about as a kid, I think it's because like nobody really raises their children to be like, oh, you should move like when you get older, like you should leave your country. But I think in the age of like cheap travel and like borders are a bit more open now, I think it's gotten more accessible. And especially because there are a lot of websites, kind of like Away Abroad, and in where you can get like a firsthand view of how of how people do it themselves. And I think it's for me, I do digital nomad because my passport is pretty weak when it comes to like getting long-term like expat visas. But I think what works for me, like for me best, is digital nomad, because like I can just get like gigs, but obviously it's still like online. I do a lot of work digitally. And yeah, but for you, like what was your very first expat destination? You said it was Ecuador, right?
Yeah, so I want to rewind a little bit because you made a comment about how parents don't typically raise you to want to do that. So yeah. This is something I love to rub in my parents' face. When I turned 18, I was supposed to go to university. That's usually the age, you know, you go to university.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, they decided kind of for me that I was going to take a semester off, and they sent me to Guatemala by myself.
Okay.
I was not having it. Like, it was not, like, no, I refused. It took me like a week before the trip. I finally was like, okay, where's Guatemala on a map? Like, I was like, that trip changed the course of my life completely. I was supposed to just go for a month. I kept changing my flight, and I went home to, my mom said, you have to come home for Thanksgiving. I went home the day before Thanksgiving. And since then, that's when I decided I really wanted to travel more and live abroad. So I went back to university the month after I graduated. I was gone again. But my parents thought they were just kind of sending me on like a fun trip. Like,
yeah,
how cool can you travel and then come back home?
Was it a trip, or was it like a voluntary thing that your parents like got you to do?
Honestly, I don't really know what their plan was, because they just like, they signed me up to learn Spanish at a school.
Okay.
But it wasn't, I was by myself and nothing was really set up other than like, here's the address to this school, go there, you know? And that was kind of it, like in their planning process. So I don't know. It worked out for the best. I loved it. I still cannot believe they actually did that. But it kind of backfired, I think, because they didn't think that it would like spur into like changing my complete lifestyle. But anytime they say like, when are you going to come home? Or like, why do you like doing this? I like to remind them that I never would have if it wasn't for them.
It was kind of their idea in the first place, I think.
Yeah. So long answer to your story or to your question. That's the first time I went abroad solo. But again, I wouldn't consider like going back to that definition of an expat. Mm-hmm. I wasn't an expat at that time. I was just traveling, you know,
right. More
of like an extended tourist. But the first time I was like living in a foreign country was in Ecuador. I was a Peace Corps volunteer, which is a program through the U.S. government.
Right.
And again, like my parents were thrilled, but thought it was going to be a phase. I think everyone thought it was going to be a phase. But once I was there, I realized, when I first wanted to go, I thought I had to move abroad with a long-term job, with a contract. And it probably was going to be through the government or something like that, because I didn't know anyone else that had done something like this. So I moved with the Peace Corps. And then once I was there and I started meeting other, you know, travelers and expats and people living abroad, I realized how many opportunities there were to stay abroad. Although I started as like, you know, a volunteer doing that, I quickly realized that there were so many other ways I could stay abroad and it wasn't going to be a phase, but something I wanted to continue with as long as I could.
So like, how was that transition like? Did you have like any culture shock or... Because I think like Ecuador is pretty different from the US.
Yeah. So I luckily had at least spent time in Latin America in Guatemala. I mean, Guatemala and Ecuador are very different, but at least, you know, Spanish and like the Latino culture kind of helped.
Right.
Guatemala hit me a lot harder just because it was the first time I'd ever seen anything that looked different, you know, to what I had grown up on. But Ecuador was different because I was having to work in the culture. And I was, you know, I lived in a really small town. I was one of two foreigners in the entire town. which made it hard, you know, because at the same time, it made it really easy to integrate because there was no one to fall back on. You know, if I wanted to make friends, like I had to go for it. And I do think that helped me overcome culture shock a bit smoother because I was kind of forced to, do you know what I mean? Like I couldn't go to some expat bubble and avoid it, but definitely was hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But I was also just really excited, you know, which also helps, you know, you overcoming challenges when you're like eager for the challenges. You know, I wanted it to be very different than the States, and it was. So I was happy with that.
And I think like one of the main things that you really have to do is like immerse yourself in the culture of the country that you're currently living in, because there are a lot of times when I've met people in different places that I've been to, and they usually just like work and then go home and they go party. But at the same time, there are a lot of different things that you can do, like go to museums or visit local tourist spots, even though like sometimes it can be a bit cringy. But I think it's really important to like do the things that most locals do and not just do like the work that you've gone to do, you know?
I think it's super common. And I think it's something that we're all guilty of going into that, getting stuck in the, I call it the expat bubble, but it's same with digital nomads, same with anyone. It's so easy, especially when you're in a city and there's other foreigners. Yeah, you get in your bubble. You maybe go to work, but you come back and you're only hanging out with foreigners. You're going to restaurants that cater towards foreigners. You're going to bars that cater towards foreigners. So you're not, yeah, you're living abroad, but you're not really.
Exactly.
I think expat bubbles can be cool because they can provide like a feeling of like comfort and home, but I do think it's a slippery slope, because you know it's nice having that comfort, but yeah, if that's all you do and all you go, it's going to be harder for you to integrate. You're going to like face a lot more culture shock because you're not taking the chance to like get to know the local community.
Exactly. I think that's pretty much what happened to me when I was living in Mexico City, because I stayed in Mexico City for like 3 months, and then I was volunteering at a hostel, and so most of the people that I was hanging out were like fellow volunteers like from Europe or the US, and then we would usually just hang out like by ourselves and like go to museums and all that stuff. But there was something like lacking, because we needed kind of a local's point of view, and like we needed to go do the things that most locals do, not just like the tourists. And so when I moved to Oaxaca, I started hanging out with a bunch of locals, and it completely like changed the way that I saw like Mexican culture. And it's just like so interesting, because like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with like fellow expats or digital nomads, obviously, but it's also kind of important to have a local's point of view and have friends from that particular country that you're living in. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and it changes your experience there completely. There's been places that I've lived in that I've integrated a lot easier, you know, or smoother than others. And I think those experiences have been so much, I don't want to say better, but maybe like stronger or like more fulfilling, I suppose, because you're getting this like full sense of community and like a fuller sense of what it means to actually live there, instead of just kind of like grazing the surface of it if you stay in like bubbles.
Right, exactly. So for you, like what was the vision behind Away Abroad? Like why did you start it, and how did you manage to start something like this?
So this is not the founder story that most people are looking for, but this is the truth. I started Away Abroad about exactly 2 years ago, actually. A little bit, like a month over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I started it because I had to get surgery on my ankle. I was working in person in Ho Chi Minh, and I needed to quit my job. And I was really bored. And my husband is a UI UX designer. So he makes websites and apps and video games for a living. And he'd been telling me for a long time that he would make me a website. And I, for a long time, had been telling him that I did not want a website. So finally, when I was not working anymore and I was just kind of sitting having to rest and recover, I was like, so about that website, like, I want something to do. So it started off, honestly, very half-baked. It was supposed to just be a hobby, something that could kind of see me through this recovery and give me a little bit of motivation, you know, to not get so down about having to like stay inside and, you know, heal. So that's really kind of how it started. I knew I didn't want to start just like a blog. Mm-hmm. I was more interested in hearing about like my expertise from traveling. I felt like came from finding jobs abroad, because I've worked in a bunch of different industries in a bunch of different continents. And that's the question people usually ask me. Right. How did you find work here? You know, how did you move here? So then I realized that, like, yeah, I know some stuff, but I've also know a bunch of people that know other things. So I wanted a place to kind of compile all of our experiences to really help women get a wide idea of what there is out there. So it just started me asking my friends, hey, will you write an article? I'm doing this thing. And, you know,
yeah.
And just really kind of that half-baked. And then I shared it on a Facebook group and it like kind of blew up. I was expecting no one to read it. And then on like day two of it, I had thousands of people on the site. Wow. And it was just, okay. no one told me, like, I didn't think anyone was going to read this now. And people were giving me a lot of feedback, like, you know, this is really interesting and da, 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 da. And people started offering to write for it. So it just kind of snowballed out of there. And about like, I guess it took me about a year to fully transition from it just being a hobby, something I wasn't taking too seriously, but also enjoying, to making that switch of like, okay, wait, this actually has a lot of potential and I really like doing it and it's continuing to grow. And I think there's a lot more I can, you know, I can do. And I think there's a lot of women I can help with this thing. So I made the switch to being my full-time job and it's been awesome, but also nothing that I was expecting it to be.
Because I think right now, like, a lot of people don't want to hear stories from like, I don't know, like governmental website. They want like firsthand experiences from like people that they can relate to. And I think it's the same for me, because when I started Following Para Luman, it's literally just like a blog. It was actually just a project for university that kind of blew up, I guess, because as I've said before, our passports are not really the best. Like, we have to get visas to go everywhere. And so I started writing about like how can we get like visas for the US or Europe. And I think because for Filipinos, we mostly go to countries like Japan or Korea or the EU. And I just wanted to promote like different countries like in Latin America that we can go to even without visas, or like, it's because like the countries over there are a bit more similar to the Philippines because of obviously the Spanish. But I think a lot of people take this in the right way because of the stories that they can relate to. And it's a bit more personal than, say, going to a travel agency or, you know. And so how did you know that this was something that you wanted to do like full time? Or was it from that post that blew up online? Or how did that happen, really?
That is a really good question. let me try to bring my mind back. I think it's just kind of one of those things, like you said, I just kept getting surprised, I suppose, that like that I found some kind of niche, mm-hmm. that I actually really enjoyed and people liked hearing about. And yeah, I mean, it's not like the typical clickbait, you know, 10 best views for Instagram, you know, in Italy, that people tend to write about. Like, it's much more niche than that. But there was still that need in this group of people that wanted to live abroad. And I do think sharing, you know, like the personal side of things. And there's a lot of articles. I think one reason that made me really want to keep doing, like having other people write about their personal experiences is kind of what you said. There's a lot of articles written by like a company, oh, why you should teach English here, but they've never taught English there, do you know? So like, you can't really trust that, you know? So a lot of people, if they were already hesitant about living abroad or moving abroad, and then they're only reading information that seems very like fake, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's hard to know if you really want to go after it. So by putting people's faces behind it and by putting people's real experiences, I think, you know, I've been able to build a community that people trust in, which was a huge reason of why I kept going with it, is like hearing people coming back and telling me these things and also telling me, you know, I never knew you could do all of these things. It made me just want to share more and more and more and continue to grow it. And the reason I switched to full time is I knew I would never be able to continue to scale and grow it as a hobby. Do you know, like I kind of needed to choose. I needed to make it a hobby and like get a real job that, you know, and do this on the side, or I needed to just kind of like go all in, hope for the best, because that would give it the real chance to succeed. So I'm taking a lucky shot on myself and I went that route, and so far so good, but it's been fun. It's just, you know, a learning experience every day, but it's definitely been really rewarding and exciting to see it grow.
Yeah, I think it's such a great thing, like a great project to embark on. But like, has there been any challenges that you face while trying to start this online community? Or like right now, are there any like challenges that you've been facing?
There are so many challenges. and I don't mean that like, not so much in terms of the community, like the people are wonderful and the people are what keeps me going. Like being able to, like, that's how I connected with you, Danny. I never would have probably connected with you had it not been for this community.
Right.
So that kind of makes it worthwhile. But the challenges are more on the back end. Like me as a solo entrepreneur trying to create a business, having never done anything like this before, that's a lot of trial and error and a lot of me kind of guessing in the dark and realizing how much I have to learn, you know, because I do everything, which is awesome. And I'm happy to be doing it, but it does come with daily challenges of me trying to figure out like what the hell to do and hoping for the best. Yeah.
You previously said that your husband was actually the one who made you the website. How is it like to be traveling with a partner, or like, how does it work for you guys? Has it been like a bit challenging to travel, to like find a home base as a married couple who are traveling constantly?
Yes and no. So we actually met traveling. He's Colombian. We met when we were both working in Panama. So not challenging in the fact that we met and we are both living abroad and we both have the same idea of traveling a lot and living abroad. So in that side of things, we definitely agree.
Mm-hmm.
It has been challenging in the fact you were mentioning this with the Filipino passport. The Colombian passport is the same. It's not a very powerful passport. And I really had like, it sounds terrible that it took me this long to realize, but you know, when I first met him, I didn't quite realize passport privilege mm-hmm. until we started traveling together and really seeing how tough it could be. So in that sense, it can be hard because we always have to double check, you know, where can he go? Where can he stay? What, you know, does he need to apply to a visa? Most likely, yes. Okay, what do we need to do to apply for that visa? So in that sense, yes. Before we chose places, so he's worked online since we really kind of met. A little bit after we met, he got his first remote gig. So he's been doing like the digital nomad thing for a lot longer. And for a while we were just traveling together. I was living off savings from some other jobs. And then we started choosing our homes based on, once we got married, based on where I could get a visa and he could piggyback on my visa.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I work online too, that has to change a little bit. Vietnam is pretty relaxed in terms of visas. So we're fine here. But when we move again, which we'll want to, when we feel like it's safe to move again, we're going to look into freelance visas, because that'll give us opportunity, you know, to stay put. Because yeah, you always have to think about where can you actually go. And with two different passports, there are two different sets of requirements, which makes it challenging.
Exactly. It's just always like so confusing, like when it comes to all the visa things, because like there are so many different types as well, not just like a tourist visa. Yeah. Like they're like expat.
Yeah, you know, there's so many. And that's actually one of the other things that I try to focus on with Away Abroad, because visas are a pain in the ass. And they're also something that if you've never lived abroad, you don't even think about a visa. Like when I first moved abroad, I was like, what do you mean? What is a visa? I didn't know. You. What do you mean I can't just go? Which sounds super privileged, but that's really how I was thinking. I mean, I was 18. I didn't know what I was doing. But with those articles, whenever I talk about jobs or living places, I try to highlight visa requirements, you know, because there is a lot of confusion around it. They're also, I think, something that's hard for people, myself included, is to realize how fluid visas are. Like they constantly change.
Yeah.
So you'll read something, and if it's from 2016, like you should double check that, because most likely it's changed. Exactly. Which in a whole other layer of fun.
Yeah, this reminds me of like that one time that some of my friends and I went to Vermont to go skiing, and they're mostly like Americans, and then they were like, oh, we should go to like Montreal for the day. I'm like, I can't cross over to the, like, so there's a border. And they're like, what do you mean, just like show your passport? I'm like, I can't. Like that's not gonna work. And they're like, oh, they're like pretty bummed, but like, no, I can't just do that. They're like, really? You can't go to Canada? I mean, I can go to Canada, but
it'll take me a little while to figure out what I need to do, and I need to apply for this visa and wait for a little bit. And yeah, it is this whole other like side of things that I just don't think, I mean, you just don't hear about that side of things. Like when you're scrolling through Instagram, very few people are like, so this is my visa story, you know, like it's usually like. So I do think it's something that people totally overlook, and it's an unfortunate thing that we can't overlook, but.
It's true. But like, aside from the challenges, like what has been the best thing, like accomplishment that you've achieved from running Away Abroad? Like, has there been something like really, really great that you've accomplished, or, I mean, there must have been.
Yeah, there has been. Luckily there has been. Keep me going. One of the biggest accomplishments is just actually doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like realizing that I have created a company from the ground up, and it's growing in analytics, and I'm number one on like Google in some searches, and like silly little things like that. Yeah, it's huge, and it's so exciting. And sometimes I kind of lose sight of that. But then when I'm talking to other people, I'm like, wait, I did that, you know? Exactly. And that's just a huge sense of accomplishment. And the other one would be the community. Like, it's just really cool how many people kind of like believe in Away Abroad, right? You know, and like want to be part of the community, and they want to be featured on Instagram, and they want to, you know, read the articles. It's just really awesome, you know, connecting with like really cool people from all over the world. Exactly. That's been a really fun side of it.
That's good. So like after a couple of years on the road, where do you most feel at home? Like where do you consider, or is there a place?
That's a good question. I think personally, I feel most at home in Latin America. I realize it's an entire region, so not so much like one specific country, but that culture, like the Latino culture, makes me feel very much at home. Like the vibrancy, the passion, the language. I really like speaking Spanish. I like my personality in Spanish. The food, you know, everything about it, I really feel very connected with Latin America. The downside of that, though, is I married one of them who worked so hard. Let me finish the sentence before I get in trouble. But he worked so hard to leave Latin America. And so he doesn't really want to live there, just like I don't want to live in the States. It's the same thing. So right now that can't be home because, you know, I'm not going to push him back there, but maybe one day. But I do very much feel at home with that culture, more so than like one country in specific. I think it's just like that culture in general connects well with me.
That is so interesting because I love Latin America as well. Like, honestly, I feel so at home in Mexico, especially. It's so, yeah. I mean, it's so similar to the Philippines, but at the same time, it's also very different. And I was like so sad because I only ever hit Colombia and then coronavirus happened and like they're like, oh, you have 2 days to get out of the country before.
Oh, no.
And so terrible. I had to like rebook like 3 times because the first one I was gonna hit the date for when they were gonna go on lockdown, and so once I hit that, I was gonna be in the country indefinitely. And it was scary. And so yeah. I had to leave, which is pretty sad. But right now I'm actually studying Spanish because I was bored and I'm not good at it, but like it's always like such fun thing to like to work on, you know?
Yeah. We were surprised when we were in the Philippines how much of your language is in Spanish.
Yes.
There's so many random words that are like, wait, that's like, I understand that word. Like, it was really interesting. Like you said, there's so many similarities, but also so many differences. It was exciting for us as well. We love the Philippines. And I think that's part of the reason is like, we immediately kind of felt at home when we were there.
Yeah, it's nice. Like in Latin America, we also get like 2 last names and very, very, very Christian names. Like,
yeah, all of you are named after angels and whatnot. Yeah.
exactly. But I mean it's fun. Like, it doesn't make you feel like as homesick as say like maybe like a country in Europe or Africa, but I mean everywhere is beautiful, and I would definitely want to try living in places that are completely like the opposite of culture, like from where I grew up, because I feel like it's a challenge. And like, I feel like once you've overcome something like that, it's going to be easier for you to adapt in like different things that like life gets thrown at you. So.
For sure. I feel like I thrive in I am very much not interested in living anywhere that is like the US. Not to like throw shade or anything, but I enjoy those challenges of being somewhere completely different. I also get bored really easily, which I think shows in my lifestyle choices. And I think that's why I like living in Vietnam and living in Korea and living in Latin America and all of these places that are so different, because even like those tiny little things of like just going to the market is like a whole adventure of, you know, differences, which is just really fun to kind of see how your brain reacts to those things. Exactly. Sometimes frustrating, but I think for the most part, if you go in with it with excitement rather than like fear, you're going to have fun and you're going to laugh about how much you don't understand, you know. Yeah, that's the fun of it. I think I live for stuff like that. I think it's exciting.
Exactly. So do you have any tips for aspiring expats or digital nomads, or if they wanted to write for Away Abroad, like how do they go about that?
Yeah. So first off, if you want to write for Away Abroad, I'm always accepting guest submissions. I really only have 2 big requirements. One is that you identify as a female. Mm-hmm. And the second one is that you are living outside of your home country. So if you are already an expat, you're already a nomad, you're already living on a sailboat, you are more than welcome to write for Away Abroad. But for those of you that haven't yet moved and want to move, first off, I would, you know, toot my own horn, but I would recommend you going to the website and kind of browsing through your different ideas. One of the biggest things, like the biggest tip I can give to people that want to move abroad, is that there are so many ways to do it, and you don't need to try to fit into one mold. Like, I know the digital nomad thing is like a very trendy kind of lifestyle. So a lot of people think that's what they have to do. Mm-hmm. Where if you don't want to work online and you also want to kind of stay put somewhere, like, you don't have to do that. If instead you want to try teaching English and you want to live in Spain, try that. If you want to be a scuba diver instructor in the Philippines, do that. Like, there are so many different ways that you can get abroad that you don't have to feel confined to just do like one thing that you've seen someone do before.
So thank you so much for gracing us with your presence on this episode. It has been super fun. Where can we find you? Like, if a lot of us wants to know more about Away Abroad or to know more about how to move abroad, where can we find you and reach out?
Yeah, I am most commonly on Instagram. So you can find me at Away Abroad, and the username for it is underscore Way Abroad. So you can find me on there, reach out. I, like I said, I do it also. I'm the social media manager as well. If you send a message there, that's me. You can also head to the website. That's www.findawayabroad.com. And you can browse through there. I also offer one-on-one mentorship programs. I have a few different packages. So if you're really serious about living abroad, but you want more personalized help, you know, overcoming some fears or figuring out kind of like what your path could be, you can reach out to me. Again, Instagram is fine, and we can talk more about those packages to get your butt abroad too.
Awesome. And for me, you can go to www.danikatanhutka.com, and on social media, I'm at dmtanhutka. Either way, all of our details will be listed on the description box and you can find us there. So thank you so much, Kat. It has been a pleasure. And yeah, I know that most of us would be grateful for this. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.